We'll read, please, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 7, the first book in the New Testament. The 7th chapter, verse 13, please. Now, we certainly appreciate seeing everyone at the meeting tonight. Thank you very much for coming. Remember the meetings as announced. If you're a stranger along, a visitor, we certainly appreciate you coming. Remember the Gospel meetings conducted nightly in the Victoria Drive Gospel Hall beginning Tuesday. And we certainly appreciate your interest tonight in being with us. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. I want you to notice with me tonight, please, we've been reading about two ways. A narrow way that leads to life. A broad way that leads down to destruction. We've been reading about two trees. A good tree and a corrupt tree. We've been reading about two builders. A wise man and a foolish man. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ in speaking here, he doesn't mention a third way. He doesn't mention a third kind of a tree. Or he doesn't mention three builders. What he has in mind to speak about two ways, two trees, and two builders. Friends in the meeting tonight, this company is divided in two. Oh, there's three sections, but you know the company is divided in two. Friend in the meeting tonight, you're either on your way to heaven, or you're on the way down to the pit and everlasting destruction. But we're thankful tonight to be able to speak of the love of God and the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want you to think, first of all, about the two trees. For the two trees, it's a test in life. And the two builders is going to be tested in a future day. You know, when you think of the two trees, a corrupt tree and a good tree. You know, a good tree brings forth good fruit.
And it won't do anything, it won't do otherwise.
It couldn't bring forth evil fruit, but you know a corrupt tree can do nothing other than bring forth evil fruit. And would you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us that each one of us are like a tree planted. For he says, ye shall know them by their fruit. You see, there are many throughout the world today, and in BC and Vancouver as well, that will say, yes, we call Jesus Lord. Yes, but not everyone, the Lord Jesus says, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, friends in the meeting tonight, you may call Jesus Lord, and you may do many wonderful works and prophesy in his name and all the rest. But in a future day, hear the words, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Friends, tonight, God is not looking to you for anything in the way of a confession of all what I do, what I'm capable of doing, or all the rest. What God wants to show you tonight in his word, that you're corrupt and you can't bring forth good fruit. You're evil and you're nothing else but evil. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What God the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring before you is that you're a sinner, condemned, unclean. Isaiah 1 says, from the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. By their fruits ye shall know them. I wonder, what are the fruits of your life? What kind of a life? What do we see from your life? What is there in your life for God? After all, my friends, tonight, God is not in all your thoughts. The Lord Jesus Christ has no place in your life, and you know it. Be honest with yourself before God, my friends, tonight. If you've never been born again, you're a corrupt man. You're a corrupt woman. And what you need is the new birth. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Peter spoke in 1 Peter chapter 1 in writing his epistle, he spoke being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, tonight, you're a corrupt man tonight, a corrupt woman, because you've had one birth. You've had one birth and not the second birth. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ would point out tonight. Our first birth, we're born of corruptible seed. You say, what have you got against my parents? I don't know you. I don't know your parents, but friends, I know where we came from. I know the rock from whence we were hewn. Go back to the Garden of Eden, where sin entered into the world by one man, and death by sin. And death has passed on all men, for that all have sinned. Our first birth, we're born of corruptible seed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and can't be anything else. Think of the flesh, the wickedness of the heart, the deceitfulness of the heart, the corruptness of your life. Now, friend, we go astray as soon as we're born speaking lies. Born of corruptible seed? Yes, in sin. King David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Yes, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity.
In Paul writing to the Romans, he said, you have changed the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Not only are we born a corruptible seed, but you're corrupting your life and every part of your life. And Paul says you're a corruptible man, a corruptible woman, and so you are. Think of the evil heart of unbelief. Think of the lust of your heart and the lust of the flesh in your life. And think of the wickedness of your life tonight, my friend. It doesn't matter to me whether you pray every day or every night. Drunkards have told me that. Why, they'd say I wouldn't go to bed at night without saying my prayers. That may be your boast as well, my friend. But remember, there's sin in your life because you're a corrupt man, born a corruptible seed. And that sin in your life is evil fruit, and it's not fruit for God. And you continue in your sin without the second birth, my friend, the tree is going to come down. The tree will be brought down, for every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I looked at a box not long ago, and that box was filled with little twigs cut so long. And I said, my, what is that? Oh, that's a fruit tree. That's a fruit tree all chopped up into pieces. Well, what are they going to do with that? Of course, it's for the fire. It's of no value whatever. It's going to be burned. My friend in the meeting tonight, your first birth, you're born in sin. But the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, if ye die in your sin, whither I go, ye cannot come. And my friends, tonight, there is a fire, hell fire, that each one of us must escape. And there's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Oh, friends, tonight, the tree that brings forth evil fruit will be hewn down and cast into the fire. That fire that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, it'll never cease to burn. He says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and forever and ever and ever. Oh, in the gathering tonight, how will it be with you in that day? You say, Lord, Lord, go to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee. And the Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. And so must you in the gathering tonight. If you're going to bring forth good fruit to God, ye must be born again. And I want you to notice here with me, please, two builders. You know the two builders? We're all building for eternity. Why, we all come into the world by birth, and that we're looked at as trees growing up and bringing forth fruit. Now, you know, you're in the world, and you've got a life to live in this world, and the Lord Jesus Christ looks at your life as a building going up. You're building for eternity. But my friend, tonight, the question is not what you're building, but on what are you building? On what are you building tonight? Or what have you placed your hope in for eternity? Where is your hope when this life is over? No, the wise man builds his house on the rock, and the foolish man, he builds his house on the sand. Why? By their fruits ye shall know them. There's a test in this life. But you know the builder, they'll be tested in a future day, in the day of judgment. You know, what do you think about building on the rock. What do you think about building on the sand?
You know, if you hear the word of God and you do it, you're likened unto a wise man that builds their house upon the rock. Oh, in this gathering tonight, I wonder tonight, are you on the rock Christ Jesus? Are you settled there for eternity, or are you building on sinking sand? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My friend tonight, how will it be with you? Are you on the rock tonight? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I wonder, what do you think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think of the word of God? Do you hear the word of God? Do you delight in the word of God? Is there a desire in your heart to carry out the word of God in your life? Hear the word and do it. Ah, the one that does, they're building their house upon a rock. Ah, in this gathering tonight, you're listening to a voice. But what voice is it? Is it the voice of the Son of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, that there might be someone in the meeting tonight, and you've got ears to hear, and God would say in his word, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. All the life that you're building, it may be just on sinking sand. After all, in the judgment day, it'll be too late to change the mind. You know, a few years back, I was up in northern Manitoba in Thompson, and you know, they had lovely new homes in that city. A whole city sprung up in a very short time, and all these beautiful homes around about. Take your pick. But you know, I looked at a home there, and the house was on a slant like that. A two-story building. A lovely home. But I inquired, what's wrong with that home? Why they built that home on permafrost? And they said, now after a few years, the frost has gone out of the ground and the foundation is starting to give and the house is sinking. You know, you could have bought that house for very little, but nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted that house. Why? Because the foundation was wrong. I wonder in the meeting tonight, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you found out tonight that you're not saved? If you're not saved and you found it out and you found out that you're not on the rock after all and you've got a beautiful edifice as it were, a great building, your life is as good as your neighbor's. Your life may be clean and upright as the person that says they're saved. And you say, I see no different in their life than mine. Outwardly, you may say, I'm as good as they are. And the Pharisees, they did that. In the days of the Lord Jesus, why they all said in their heart, and they said, yeah, they're all right in their heart. In outward appearance, you may appear very well. But let me ask you the question tonight. Are you on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man to build his house upon the rock. You say, do what? He that doeth the will of my Father. Oh, friends, tonight, the will of God is that you might be saved, that you might receive his Son, that you might turn from your wicked way and be saved tonight. God willeth not the death of any, for God is the will, is that you might be saved, even tonight. No, the two builders, the time came when the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. You know, the house that was built upon the rock, it stood. The day of testing came, and the house upon the rock, it stood. You know, friends, you know in this gathering tonight, you're a stranger to me, but you know as well as I, this world is shaping up for judgment. Why, people are saying something has to burst. Something is going to happen. By all means, it's going to happen. God is going to rise up and shake terribly the earth. God is coming in judgment, and men will crawl into the holes and the dens of the earth and call upon the rocks to fall on them, that they might hide themselves from the eye of him with whom they have to do. Why will they do that? Because in that day, they will realize, I'm not on the rock. I'm not saved. After all, I'm on the sand. And when the rains descend, and the winds blow, and beat upon that house, it falls. And great was the fall of it. Oh, in the gathering tonight, search your heart tonight, and see whether you be in the faith or not. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How is it with you tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He also spoke about two ways. Two ways. And you know, in the gathering, I would like to show you tonight, two ways before you lie. One upward to the sky, one downward to the pit. I tell you, what will your choice be tonight? What is the choice? You know, the two ways before us, not three. There's two ways. I wonder, do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking about building now? That's true, we're all builders. And we're all like a tree planted, bearing fruit. Good or evil, but the Lord Jesus now wants to point out that we're travelers. We're travelers. And you know, from the time that we come into the world, we're taking a journey. And the journey at best is not long. The journey from the cradle to the grave is a very short distance. But you know what? In that distance, 70? No, it may only be a few short years, a few weeks or months. You're not promised tomorrow. It could be a very short period of time, but oh friends, tonight, in that short period of time, God has given you time to prepare to meet thy God. From the cradle to the grave, you have a moment now to prepare to meet thy God. For traveling you are into eternity. Where will it be, my friend? What will it be? Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Where will you spend eternity? Well, if you boast that you're with the majority and you believe like most people do, the Lord Jesus said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads down to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That broad way, it's crowded. If you've never been born again, that's where you are. You're on the broad way. You're going down to destruction, down to the fall of the house that fell. The tree went into the fire, and the house and the trip, the journey is down to destruction, down to everlasting torment and everlasting woe. But friends, tonight, we want to show you that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. For the Lord Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. There is a straight gate. There is a narrow way that leads to life.
It leads to heaven and home.
And few there be that find it.
Oh, that you might find tonight, that you could be saved tonight. You could be delivered from the wrath to come tonight. You say, how? Enter ye in at the straight gate. You say, what's the gate? Where do I find it? The Lord Jesus said in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, tonight, friends, the door, the way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not a doctrine. It's not an ordinance. It's not a creed. It's not a religion. It's a person we wish to present to you, a man. And this man is God. This man stepped out of the glory and was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This man went to the cross, and he bare my sin in his own body on the tree. This is the one that saves and keeps and satisfies. His wonderful love proclaim on the gathering tonight. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Ah, my friends, tonight, you say, I'm very near. Listen, very near. Judas was very near. I'm afraid you may linger tonight and lose your way and be lost on the coast of the castaway. Ah, be careful tonight and be wise and be understanding what the will of the Lord is. You're on the broad way and you're going down to destruction, but you've never found that out. You need to find that out. Oh, that you might find it out tonight, that you're lost, going down to hell. You know, I was coming out of Winnipeg a month or two ago, and a man was along the highway checking. And I passed him, and I went to visit a man in a restaurant at a service station down the road. A few minutes later, this man that was hitchhiking came in there, into this restaurant, wanted to use the restroom. And I went to him and I said, would you like something to eat? Oh, he's a frail-looking man. And I said, would you like something to eat? And a cup of coffee? No. I said, yes, I think you better have something. Come on in here. I invited him in to have something to eat. I says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Toronto and Montreal. I says, you are? Yes. I said, well, you're going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way, he says. I said, yes, you're going west, and Toronto's that way, Montreal's east, the other way. Well, he sat and he had something to eat there, and when he left the restaurant, he crossed the highway and got on the other side. That man was lost on a broad highway, crossing Canada, and he didn't know it. Are you in the meeting tonight, and you're traveling, and you're lost, and you don't know it? Listen, my friend, the broad way leads down to destruction, down to the pit, down to hell, everlasting woe, and everlasting torment. But there's a way made clear to heaven through the precious crimson tide. And there's a pardon freely offered through a Savior crucified. Oh, would you enter in tonight? Would you take that step of faith tonight and say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. All gather in tonight and see that there's one who is able to save tonight. Why sit we here until we die? Why not tonight? Enter ye in at the straight gate. O, be wise tonight. Take the place that God puts you in. A sinner, condemned, unclean, and cry out tonight, what must I do to be saved?
No, it wasn't just any old person pulled out of a crowd that God gave to die on the cross for you. It took someone greater than that. It took God's Son. His only Son. I have two sons. There are people here tonight with two sons, or more than two children. You wouldn't give one of them, and I wouldn't give one of my sons for anyone else. But God gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, because He loves you. God gave His only Son to die on the cross. That's who He is. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the one who came to be the sacrifice for sin. He's also the sinless one who's able, properly able to die, to pay the price for your sin. And He's the Son of God. Man, does God ever love you? He loves you an awful lot. But to me, Jesus Christ is more than that. I'd like to look in Matthew chapter 27. The last verse that I'd like to read. Matthew chapter 27. Pilate asks the question. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. In July of 1960,